Hello and welcome back to the Driveline Podcast. My name is Trevor Johnson and I will be your host today. This is the official podcast of the South Dakota Auto Dealers and the South Dakota Trucking Association. Today, I have Jason Boutwell here with Pro Resources HR. They do a bunch of stuff in the HR space and outsourcing HR, and great work. And Jason's been a great friend throughout just being at the association for me. Welcome, Jason. And
yeah,
tell us a little bit about Pro Resources and about your background.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's fun to be in your palatial radio studio here in Sioux Falls. So your questions were run the gamut. You know, tell me about you. Tell me about Pro Resources. Maybe I'll start with me, the personal introduction. So I live in Fargo.
Okay.
But I also live in Sioux Falls. South Dakota has been so good to our business that I'm here Monday through Thursday every other week, so much so that I actually bought a house in Sioux Falls.
That's crazy.
So, I still don't feel like I'm a resident of the community, because I'm not, but I feel like the business community has most definitely embraced us, and it's been a lot of fun. That would be a nightmare for some people, having to, really recreate a network. You know, when I walk into a grocery store or a restaurant or a bar in Fargo, I can wave to three or four people that I know. Right. And 2 years ago in Sioux Falls, that was not the case.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I'm, at least in certain restaurants and bars, I can walk in and wave to some folks. And it's been great. Sioux Falls is a wonderful area. South Dakota is a great state. And I used to in my old role, parachute into South Dakota every so often. But I was working with IT people only. And so my network was very different. The people that I serve was very different. So it's been a lot of fun to work with you and your associations and serve their members. Quick background on me. I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hold it against me. Yeah, I'm a cheeser. Moving to Fargo for college is what brought me to the area.
Okay.
And then, of course, you finish the sentence as every non-native does. And then I met a girl.
Yep, that's always how it works. Yeah.
Wait a second, you grew up in West Virginia and now you live in the Dakotas. You know, what's the scoop? It almost always relates to job or spouse.
Yes.
And my wife is from prestigious West Fargo, North Dakota. And
great.
Yep. And I met her my senior year of college, and I'm glad she didn't meet me earlier. I played football at NDSU and had a little bit of an ego that came along with being a player.
Yeah.
Even though I was really just a tackling dummy. I'm thankful to have met her, after reality set in and I started to immerse myself in the world around me as opposed to living in the bubble.
That is
college football. So that was a great time. We moved to the Twin Cities for just a stretch and then right back to Fargo when we realized that, you know what, we're small town people, not necessarily big city people. And it's been great. So a little bit about Pro Resources. Well, first of all, I spent 2 decades in the IT space.
Yeah, right. Because you were with Marco before you.
I was. Marco Technologies, great organization.
Yeah.
I really had a chance to see excellence in motion working for Marco and have brought a lot of the things that I learned at Marco into practice at Pro Resources. And it's funny how things circle around, but the reason I'm at Pro Resources is because an old college teammate of mine was an investor in Pro Resources. We've been around for 34 years now. Born and bred in 1991 in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota.
Wow. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So we've been there, done that, seen a couple things.
Yeah.
Sounds like a farmer's insurance commercial.
Been to a few conventions.
Yes. And somewhere maybe 7-8 years ago, Matt, my friend and now business partner in Pro Resources, he started knocking on my door and saying, "Hey, Jason, we're interested in growing. Will you come and work for us?" Because I was responsible for, amongst other things, at Marco, driving revenue, finding new friends and folks that need our services at Marco, and then making the move over to Pro Resources. Really, what got me here in the first place was at Marco Technologies, as my career marched on, I ended up where I wanted to be, and mm-hmm. really kind of where everybody wanted to be. And I was working with the biggest customers. Right. And that's it, just the biggest of the big. And towards the end of my career, I really only had about 12 customers total, mm-hmm. whales of companies that bought all things IT infrastructure related through me. So from an income perspective, and it was great. From a fulfillment perspective, it wasn't great. I was, truth is I was bored to tears. I wasn't helping small business. If you sell $2 million worth of wireless access points to South Dakota State University, the IT director didn't call me afterwards and say, Jason, thank you. This really had a big impact. I didn't feel like I was making a difference.
Right.
So I was able to get some fulfillment in life through some nonprofit ventures and, being immersed in that space for personal fulfillment.
Yeah, right.
Because I was a commerce guy during the day. So I needed something in order to be well-rounded. Of course, you need to find fulfillment. We're all created for servitude, and we're all created to be in the service of others. And I just wasn't getting that out of my day job. As great as the role was, from an income perspective, I was missing that piece.
Yes.
So I would look to my left at Marco, and I would see some of my younger peers that were working with small business owners.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little jealous. I didn't want to trade paychecks.
Right.
But I was a little jealous of the fact that they got to work with small business owners who just needed technology help, IT security, workflow, things to improve the day-to-day of the operators of that business and reduce risk for the employers, reduce risk for the owners and the founders.
And they really see the impact of that.
I mean, shoot, I can't tell you, and I can't name names, of course, but I can't tell you how many organizations we saw significantly negatively impacted by having bad IT security practices in place. I mean, to the point where businesses fold.
You get a bad breach or something, you get a lawsuit and it's over.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, if it becomes headline news, it's hard to calculate the cost impact of reputation damage.
That's so true too.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's just, hey, I'm locked out of my own data and it's going to cost me 20 grand or 50 grand or 300 grand to buy it back.
Right.
But if you're a banking institution, a lending institution or something like that, the reputational damage, has an incalculable impact moving forward. So anyways, I digress. I saw those organizations my peers that were working with smaller organizations, and I was a little jealous. Meanwhile, my boredom was increasing a little bit. So those things were kind of happening simultaneously. And Marco started to focus our energies a little bit more and more and more on the small business, on the the outsource your HR. I'm sorry, outsource your IT to us.
Yeah.
So Marco would have conversations with small businesses and say, listen, you're having a hard time keeping up. You've got 50 employees. Unless you plan on hiring an entire IT department, you're at risk. And then the cyber loss providers, the insurance companies would say to small business owners, hey, we're not going to insure you for cyber loss unless you check the box on these 27 things.
And have a full IT department.
Full IT department, some tools that were prohibitively expensive. And small businesses started more and more and more and more to outsource, just say, all right, I didn't start my trucking company to get really good at IT.
Right.
I'm just going to outsource that piece. And then they would breathe a sigh of relief and say, okay, God, that was the easiest decision, the hardest decision, but the best possible outcome. Because outsourcing things mentally is a little bit of a leap. If you're used to talking to Carl, the IT guy, by knocking on his door and walking three doors down your hall, there's a little bit of a cultural shift to working with an outsource provider that you engage in different channels.
Yeah, right.
You got to make a phone call. You got to send an email. Maybe do a Teams call. That type of thing.
It feels distant at first. I think
it does. I mean, it's the way to go.
Yeah.
But initially, there's a little something to get over there.
And people hate customer service calls to Target, that's scary.
For sure. If you're on hold for 45 minutes and by the time you get somebody live, you can barely understand them because they're, God bless them. They're doing, some of the Lord's work there. But, the truth is if they're in India and they have a real thick accent. You know, us Midwesterners, we like to talk to each other.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So so Marco did a real good job of providing just a great customer experience.
Yeah.
So I heard time and time and time again that, boy, outsourcing IT, I'm so glad I did it. You had a huge impact on me, my stress level. You know, took the edge of risk off for my business. Right. And as that started to trend, of course, businesses have always outsourced legal. And marketing are two common things that businesses have outsourced forever.
Yeah.
And when businesses, probably the majority of small businesses now, outsource IT, I looked at that, and as my friend was knocking on my door and telling me the story about outsourced HR, my boredom was increasing, my jealousy was increasing.
Yeah.
And I saw this outsourced HR model as something that was really following that same trend line. I thought, interesting. Now,
like we're doing that right now with IT.
So really replace the word IT with HR.
Yeah.
And in the IT space, there's a lot of organizations that provide those services. In the HR space, we're a bit of an anomaly for now. I'm sure some people will follow that model. But we're doing a darn good job with helping small businesses outsource HR.
Yeah, right.
Now, when you think about HR, you might think about an HR person. But if you think about, say, Sanford or Schneider Trucking, right? Schneider Trucking in this industry, they've got, 10 million employees. They're a big, huge outfit.
Right.
And they probably have an HR department.
Right.
Not just a person, but an entire department. Well, for a small business, okay, I now have 30, 40 employees, and, maybe I should have an HR, an HR person.
Right.
So it's tempting to hire that person internally. But, the truth is that your place isn't that fun to work for.
Right.
And here's why. You get a stud hire, and they're going to look over their shoulders and see greener pastures. They're going to go work for Schneider Trucking. They're going to go work for Sanford, where there's an HR department ladder to climb, where there is, some variety. And those opportunities oftentimes pay more. So you hire a dud, and they become a liability. Hire a stud, and they're going to turn over.
Yeah.
IT professionals, HR professionals do not want to work for small businesses. Not for persistent periods of time.
No.
Okay? So if you're a small business owner, and you have a need, every small business does, a need for IT and a need for HR, how do you do that? And the answer is outsourcing.
Yeah.
So we're a for-profit business. So we have to charge a fee for our services.
Yeah.
But oftentimes there's hard cost offsets that will nearly or even in rare circumstances completely offset the cost of engaging us in the first place.
Yeah, that's – well, I suppose because you get rid of a lot of liability.
Well, and that's – that's a separate ledger entry altogether.
Oh, okay.
When I'm talking to – let's just say you're the business owner. I might ask you a hypothetical question of what's your car insurance worth?
Yeah.
That's a hard question to answer. If you get in a fender bender tomorrow, the repair bill might be $5,000. If you happen to be involved in a fatality-based accident, that car insurance could be worth $2 million.
Right.
So what's your car insurance worth? Hard question to answer, right?
Yeah.
So we push that one off to the side when we say, okay, we're going to charge you X, but we're going to save you here, 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 and here. And so we go from gross fee to really net cost to the organization when we consider things like, the potential of workers' comp cost savings, because we manage that on our own, on behalf of our customers. We're literally self-insured in that category. So there's cost savings associated with that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep. When we talk about, some of the software tools that a lot of organizations are using today for human resource management, like Bamboo or Paylocity or Paycom or some of those, they're great platforms. We just happen to bring our own into the relationship. Maybe they're outsourcing payroll. So let's just say we're charging an organization $30,000.
Yeah.
Well, if we save $5,000 on a platform, a software platform a year, if we save $2,000 a year on workers' comp, if we save another $3,000 on payroll outsourcing expenses, or Trevor, Mr. Small Business Owner, if you value your time, you no longer have to deal with HR situations. You don't have to pay an attorney for an annual handbook update. And if you have employees in multiple states, it's a nightmare, you know, staying on top of all the compliance stuff. You know, when you're driving down the road.
And I think that's one of the biggest pieces in trucking is the compliance piece, because they operate in, well, most of them, all 50 states, right?
Yes, yes. Although the rules are related to where they're domiciled. But if you've got transportation hubs in other markets, if you run LTR out of Sioux Falls and you've got people that are driving through California, thankfully you don't have to really abide by some of the crazy California laws. We call Minnesota the California of the Midwest because it's almost equally crazy. It's a race to crazy town as it relates to, you know, the small business regulations that are laid on small business owners.
Yes.
But if you're... You know, if you're driving, it's pretty simple, right? The rules of the road say 70 miles an hour or 80 miles an hour.
Right.
And there's a sign every 2 miles that tells you exactly what the rules of the road include. But if you own a small business, you know, the rules are sometimes hidden. You don't even know what the rules are. So as a small business owner, I would say to you, I'd say, Trevor, you know, are you sure you're compliant? And the answer is always, yeah, I really don't know.
No.
Yeah. So last year, as an example, in the state of Minnesota,
slapped down a book that big.
It's impossible.
This is all the things that you need to do and that you shouldn't do, and you're like, well, how many of them to apply to me? And you're like, well,
yeah. And you just cross your fingers and hope you don't get busted, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right? And the teeth associated with a speeding ticket, you know, those are nominal. The teeth associated with, or the fines associated with non-compliance in certain categories, can be nuclear. They can really be problematic to the solvency of an organization if they're big enough. Okay, so here's a real life story of a scenario in which we helped an organization really reduce the liability that they would have incurred if they were DIYing HR. And in order to DIY anything, you have to have three things, right? You have to have the aptitude for it, you know, expertise.
Yep.
You have to have the appetite for it. And you have to have the availability for it.
Right.
And small business owners, they don't have availability.
No.
And even if they had availability, should they spend their time on HR-related issues? Or should they chase another contract? Should they work on reducing costs in other categories? Should they work on their bottom line? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, yeah, they should work on other things.
Yeah.
So when you can outsource to somebody like us and maybe save some costs and for sure reduce your risk... It's a pretty easy decision oftentimes, but a real life story of where we've helped. I'll use a trucking related example. We have a customer locally here in South Dakota who had a workers' comp claim. This driver had injured his shoulder, or so he said. He was on a flatbed running some stuff down to Texas, picking up another load and coming back. Well, as he was performing, and I'm going to use terminology that I hope is accurate, but the strap down process for securing the load on that flatbed, he had a shoulder injury. So he called in a work comp claim, you know, told the boss that, you know, he wasn't able to work, was able to ginny up some doctor's note to state as much, but the business owner was suspicious. This guy had only been with him for, you know, 6-8 months, something in that neighborhood, but hadn't been necessarily the best actor, so to speak. So he had some suspicions. Mm-hmm. So he called us, and, you know, we're the first report of injury. We do everything an HR department might do. So this business owner, this LTL trucking business owner, called us and said, all right, I've got a work comp claim. Here's all the data I know. Take it from here. So, you know, we ask him those questions. Hey, do you trust this guy? And the answer is no, not really. I'm not sure that I do trust this guy. So we, as oftentimes we do, when there's concern about the, you know, the legitimacy of a claim, we hired an investigator. And for the most part, these guys are photographers, or they're retired law enforcement.
Right.
They're folks that are really experts in the categories. And sure enough, just like you have a credit score, if you were applying for a credit card, I could see that you've defaulted 10 times in the last 5 years, right? Your credit score tells me that. Well, that same database exists for work comp claims.
Really?
Yep. So we looked in the work comp history for this particular employee and saw, okay, yeah, he has submitted quite a few work comp claims over the course of the years. And there was a pattern. It was in April. Of every other year or so, where he had submitted a work comp claim. So All right. Our radar goes up a little bit. And so we get a photographer and we find out that he's working cash for his brother's concrete company. So he's getting paid under the table, getting paid cash. And he didn't have a shoulder injury. We had photos of him carrying a heavy wheelbarrow and working a screed and doing some other things. And, you know, obviously the business owner who's paying us a fee as an outsourced HR department was able to save himself from increased premiums because, you know, insurance companies, for the most part, they don't care. If you get in a car crash, they write you a check, you go get your bumper fixed for that fender bender, and then they get their money back through increased premiums.
Right.
Because we self-fund workers' comp, we write a check out of our pockets. We literally, as partners, we take that money and put it in a regulated escrow account, and we make those payments on our own. Right. So we care. More than your average. And the byproduct of that for that business owner was that they didn't have the premium increases to the same degree because we were able to nip that in the bud.
That's
so
nice.
One super well-managed work comp claim that's not in the category of how I'm going to save money from gross to net on our admin fees and the hard cost offsets. Mm-hmm. But it can pay for itself right there.
Yeah.
Another story is, a small business owner has an employee and a supervisor who are just going after it, maybe even, you know, shoving match. And we've had fist fights and all
wow.
the things that you can
yeah,
imagine.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
But a standard scenario in a small business is, you know, a phone call to their dedicated HR person. They get one that's assigned to them is, hey, Megan, the HR person at Pro Resources, I need some help. You know, Jimmy and Jerry aren't getting along, and I need you to come in and just kind of help me get to the bottom of it. They're both super valued employees. Jimmy's my nephew, and Johnny, you know, he's a guy I played softball with, and I've known him for 15 years. So the business owner is in no position to de-escalate that situation because Jimmy or Johnny are going to feel as though they weren't the situation wasn't handled fairly, because of the connection.
Yeah.
As an arm's length third party arbiter, we can help get to the bottom of those things, de-escalate, help both of those employees, communicate a little bit better moving forward, and then of course we can train supervisors on how to best engage employees.
Right.
If somebody shows up for work inebriated, you just call us and say, hey, I need you to fire this person. No problem. We'll be right over. We'll take care of it for you. So that the nice. Small business owner can take care of business moving forward.
Right. So you kind of hop in that place.
Yep.
So how big is Pro Resources as a company? Like how many employees do you have?
Well, good question. There's kind of two different answers to that question.
Yeah.
And depending on how it's asked is how I answer. But maybe I'll start with the first half of that question is how big is Pro Resources as a company, as an employer?
Right.
And we've got about 54 employees that are on W-2 from us.
Okay.
So almost all of them are customer facing. We've got a couple folks that are, you know, kind of in the back office working on, you know, accounting and whatnot. We pass lots of paper through our desks.
Yeah.
So we've got some accountants and some, you know, back office type folks, but we've got 54 people who by and large are customer facing at the service of our clientele.
Right.
That number has grown substantially over the course of the last 7 years. The adaptation of outsourced services is absolutely trending.
Mm-hmm.
Super grateful to be in a growth industry. It's a lot of fun. But the other question that maybe you didn't ask, but maybe you did was, how big is Pro Resources? How many customers do you have?
Right.
And we've got about 7,500 employees that through their employers map to us. So that's a whole lot of customers, of course, that we're serving. And ultimately, we work for our customer, the business owner, but we're really there to improve the employee experience. Apple, Sony, Nike, they love their employees and can give their employees, wonderful services. The employee experience of working at Disney is different than the employee of experience of working at your local C-store, right?
Yes.
Why is that, do you think? Is it because Disney loves their employees more than the owner of the... I would argue that they're just as valuable.
Right.
Right? The employees at the local C-store or the trucking company are just as valuable to the owner as the employees of Disney are valuable to the Disney Corporation.
Right.
So, okay, that's great. But how does an organization that that can't possibly justify an entire HR department. How do you justify the spend? Well, you don't. You hire us for that. So I'll use Stern Incorporated as an example. They had an office manager who was set to retire. She was kind enough to offer about a 2-year notice on that. So they called us and said, "Hey, can you help us with payroll services?" And I said, yeah, we sure can. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, how you handle some other things, employee onboarding as an example. Mm-hmm. How do you handle wellness? How do you handle safety? And as we dug a little deeper, we came to learn that they were doing all of those things, but they were doing it in a little bit of a hodgepodge fashion. Somebody would take care of this, somebody would take care of that, somebody would take care of the other thing, and it was a little herky jerky, and it wasn't their full-time job. As an example, Gino was he was in charge of employee benefits administration. Well, Gino's got a day job. He doesn't really want to be the benefits administrator, the employee onboarder, so to speak. He has other very important and strategic responsibilities within that organization. Mm-hmm. So when he was able to shed those over to us, two things happened. The employee experience was improved during that onboarding process, and Gino got to ditch a responsibility he didn't really enjoy in the first place.
Right. So yeah, that's big.
It was great. It was great. And actually, if you look at our website, we've got a Stern testimonial video topic. Yeah. So Scott and you know, Dan and Caitlin and that group over there have just been wonderful to work with.
Yeah.
And they're the picture of how to take advantage of our services, because they've used our wellness coordinator, who will stop into their office every once in a while.
Right.
And employ some conversational techniques to encourage their drivers to do some stretches and exercises in cab, to do some things to increase their energy. At their safety fair here in February, we had a table probably about this size with some painter's tape across the front of it, and things on this side of the table that are terrible for your body, and things on this side of the table that are good for your body. All of those items were purchased at C-stores.
So nice.
When you walk into a C-store, you know, you can pick up a, you know, Mountain Dew Code Red and some Slim Jims, and that'll
or
you can get some, you know, most of these places, like you know, the coffee cup. You can pick up hard boiled eggs and vegetables. You can grab an apple and a banana. You know, there's plenty of good options out there. So that would be an example.
I've bought banana at a C-store before.
And that wasn't the case 10 years ago, right?
No.
So kudos to the C-stores for making it easier. But the conversation that we would have with leadership inside of an organization is, you know, hey, wellness matters.
Yeah,
And it's not just a bunch of hippy dippy stuff.
No,
it's not hippy stuff. It matters to the bottom line of an organization, because a healthy staff is less likely to call in sick, is less likely to use medical sick days, is less likely to have an on the job issue because they are in brain fog and aren't operating on all 12 cylinders, I guess, literally and figuratively in this case, right?
Literally.
If I had a gas station burrito and a Code Red Mountain Dew for lunch, I'm more likely to trip on an extension cord. I'm more likely to drive in the ditch. I'm more likely not to be all together up here.
Right. Well, so, especially after day 12 of doing that.
Or year 12 of doing that.
Yeah.
So treating your body well is, you know, we'll have that conversation with a leadership group within an ownership group within an organization. And then we pivot and we talk to, you know, the employees. And the conversation is very different over here. Yeah. Hey, raise your hand if you want to feel good at the end of the day. Well, of course, everybody raises their hand. And we're not bringing things to the table that are groundbreaking when we do this. Everybody knows they shouldn't smoke. Everybody knows they shouldn't drink Mountain Dew. Everybody knows that they shouldn't eat, you know, nitrate nuggets, right?
Right.
But how do you go about that? And that's where our wellness team will bring real live applicable practices to a group of employees for the benefit of the business and the benefit of the employees. So if the employees feel as though they're being loved on, if the employees see their employer bringing to them, wait a second, you're providing me with a counselor? Wait a second, you're providing me with a wellness coach and coordinator?
Right.
Wait a second, you're bringing safety messages into the business, so that at Stern, as an example, they pull hose all day. Their drivers will pull up, they'll fill up a tank, and they're carrying heavy hose over their shoulder. Uh-huh. By helping them understand the safe techniques to do that, wow, my employer really does care about
cares me. Cares about me.
A little bit less likely to go looking for greener pastures. And every time somebody turns over within an organization, it costs that organization money.
Well, I think the big thing about HR is people always think like, oh, retention, we need to pay them more or something like that. It's always like monetary. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the fulfillment for of the job does not come from that.
People gain fulfillment in different ways. But study after study after study after study shows that if there is a culture, if there if there is a caring approach and that customer, or I'm sorry, employee experience is a good one, they're a lot less likely to seek a greener pastures just from an economics perspective in the first place. So if turnover costs $20,000 per turn as an example, and our annual fee is $30,000. Do you think we can help you save one employee? It's pretty easy math. So when we talk about it, when we get in front of clients, you can see why our growth is what it is. We're forecasting 35% growth in the year 2025.
Okay,
we're a 34-year-old company.
That's crazy.
Typically 4-8%, 10% is a banner year for a mature company.
Right.
But 35% growth. We've got some growing pains.
Yeah.
When you grow at that pace, there's some work to do. And we've got a lot of work to do. But our retention rate is 96.2%. We're pretty proud of that.
That's crazy. That's really good.
Yeah. So it's been a great move. It's so fun. And you might be able to tell I get a little bit fired up about it because it is so fun.
That's awesome.
But the best part of it is when a small business owner calls and says, man, this is great. I got my Sundays back because I don't have to do payroll anymore. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better wife. I'm a better mother because I'm not stressed by the human resources tasks, the payroll and the benefits admin and the COBRA administration. We take care of all that stuff.
Right.
I'm not stressed by the tasks. I have more capacity in my day to do things that are important to the company.
Yeah.
And I took off some risk. Are you kidding me? This is a win-win-win. So when I hear that back from our customers, it's just, I'm not jealous anymore. I'm not jealous of those guys that at Marco that got to work with the smaller businesses because now I get to do it every day.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on, Jason.
Thanks for
having me. How do our members get a hold of you? How do they, what are the first steps?
Well, I think, the easiest way is just to call me. 701-200-1400 is my direct line number.
Okay, perfect.
I'm not always the person with the answers, but I'll do my best to start that conversation.
Okay.
Our website, proresourceshr.com, is a pretty good place to go learn a little bit more. And if you've got an appetite for some conversation on the topic in general, I'm never going to promise that we're the right fit for you.
Right.
We'll have a conversation, and if we're not the right fit for you, I've got a lot of friends in the industry who can provide some services. And my promise to anybody who connects is that I'm not going to sell you on the idea. We're either a good fit or we're not.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if we don't think you're the right fit, we might take a pass as well. My goal in conversations with prospective customers is just to kind of together make that determination. And it's usually a pretty quick conversation.
Yeah. Well, nice.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, thank you everybody who's listening today for listening to the end. And we appreciate every one of you, and stay tuned for more podcasts like this. Thank you again, Jason, for coming on.